Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Good, thanks. Today we're going to talk about something we've talked about in the past, which is coronary artery disease and protection, particularly secondary prevention for coronary artery disease. By secondary prevention, we're referring to the long-term treatment to prevent recurrent cardiac disease and perhaps improve the quality of life in people who either have had prior heart disease or are at high risk for heart disease. Coronary artery disease, clearly a leading cause of mortality, I was going to say in the Western world, but as I've just gotten back from Asia, it is increasing almost everywhere, including Asia and Africa. In the U.S., the prevalence of coronary artery disease is about 6%. Prognosis is pretty good. Within the first year of having a heart attack, most people are alive. But 25% of men, 38% of women will die after their first MI. Within 6 years of having a first MI, 18% of men and 35% of women will have another MI, suggesting that perhaps we've spent too much time on the male side of the equation and need to be able to predict better these high-risk women. So the aims of our intervention are to prevent, or in the case of secondary prevention, to prevent recurrent acute coronary syndromes or to prevent initial ones. The outcomes that we're clearly interested in are reducing mortality and also morbidity and improving quality of life. Mark, I think you've picked an abstract from Lancet for this week that asks the question, does the combination of an angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitor, an ACE, and an angiotensin receptor blocker, an ARB, A-R-B, do they offer any benefits when taken together over either one of them alone? What did the authors find?
Well, you know, if one drug is good, two are better, right?
Right.
And, always the case, of course. And, let's just completely shut down that renin-angiotensin system. It's one of those issues where currently there are some data in patients with advanced renal disease where there have been some limited studies showing some benefit to that combination of an ACE and an ARB in those patients. But increasingly, physicians are using that combination for other high-risk patients or patients felt to be at high risk for either cardiovascular disease or diabetes complications. So in this study, after a three-week run-in period, which is a way of making sure that everybody tolerates the drug and is compliant with the drug, the researchers randomized patients over 55 years who either had known coronary heart disease or who had diabetes and some end organ damage related to the diabetes to get either ramipril, which is Altase, 10 milligrams a day, or telmisartan, which is Mycardis, 80 milligrams a day, or both. And there were 8,500 patients in each group, so it was a huge study, about 25,000 total patients. Now, keep in mind that these run-in periods, in one way, it's similar to the real world because patients who don't like treatment stop taking it, but what it does is it stacks the deck in favor of more aggressive treatment and drug therapy versus placebo.
Let me interrupt for a second, Mark. So with a run-in period, what happens is you take it for 3 weeks, and the clock doesn't start until the people that have dropped out, and now you've got a group of people that have taken it for 3 weeks, and the clock starts at that point, you're saying.
That's right, and they're also compliant. Not only do they tolerate the drug, but they're compliant. You really have to look carefully at studies. These are often designed in, and they are, the argument in favor is they're an efficiency. Instead of having to enroll a bunch of people who are just going to be non-compliant or quit the medication, you're doing more of an effectiveness trial where you're looking in the best possible situation. But what that means is when we apply it to the real world, we're not going to see quite as much benefit. The recent study with, and we're going a little off topic, but the recent Crestor study with high cholesterol and the statins, they had a run-in period too, and about 10% of the patients either didn't tolerate it or didn't keep taking it, so they removed them from the study, and that made Crestor look even better than it would have otherwise.
So really what we're talking about is the difference between efficacy and effectiveness.
That's right.
A run-in really is looking at efficacy, not because you don't have the people that would have dropped out the way you would if you were looking at effectiveness.
Yes. I always get those two confused. Thanks for straightening me out there. But yes, it's you know, what's in the ideal world and what's in the real world, and you know, we practice in the real world. So
right.
I always factor in a little bit of a fudge factor when I see that run-in period and think, okay, it's probably not going to work quite as well in the messy world of practice. Yeah, in this case, about 11% of those who started the run-in didn't go on to the trial. So it's going to overestimate the benefit by some percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So the patients were evaluated every 6 months for about 5 years. And at the end of the study, about 12% in each group had died, so no difference in mortality. No patients went on to renal transplant. A little less than 2% in each group doubled their serum creatinine, and a little less than 1% required dialysis, either acute or chronic during that time. So really very little difference between groups in any of these key outcomes and no statistically significant differences. Patients taking both an ACE and an ARB were slightly more likely to require acute dialysis than those taking either one. Now, it was a small difference, 0.33% versus 0.15 or 0.23. So you'd have to treat over 500 patients for 5 years with two drugs instead of just one to cause one more patient to need dialysis. But there really weren't any benefits, so even that small risk, I mean, why run it? It's additional cost, additional monitoring, and a slight harm. So there's really no reason to be using this combination in these patients.
Interesting. I mean, it's a huge study. I mean, you know, just the numbers seem to add up to me to be about 24,000 patients.
Yep.
About 8,000 in each arm, I totally understand why you have to be cautious with 11% of people dropping out. You know, that sort of suggests some problems right there. But it's interesting. I'm sure that the manufacturers are not happy if they could sell two drugs instead of one. But I think clinicians and certainly patients will benefit from knowing that you really don't need to take these two expensive drugs.
Yeah, that's right. And as I said, the 10% dropout for a run-in period is pretty typical.
Yeah.
And what it would have, the bias it would tend to insert is a bias in favor of the more aggressive treatment. So even with that in place, there still wasn't a benefit and maybe even a small harm. So
great.
Not a good idea.
A good good take-home message, Mark. Thanks for the information. We look forward to talking with you again next week.
All right. Talk to you then.
Thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.